What's up, everybody? Welcome back. This is Anything But Credible, aka the ABC Pod. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate it. My name's Dukes, and as always, the crew, Griff,
what's
Keith.
What's up?
What up?
What up? What up?
Fellas, tomorrow's the big day. The Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it last week, shortly. We won't talk about it too much, because by the time this is out, it'll already have been over.
Yeah,
well, but
maybe still be nursing the hangover or something.
Yeah,
but we'll
might
see.
Be still struggling from it. How are we feeling, number one? And what? Any big plans other than just roaming?
I'm approaching this very scientifically. It's bro science. Bro science. Okay.
My second favorite type of
logical.
Science.
It's logical.
Yeah. So
marine biology comes in first.
First step. Wake up, cup of coffee immediately.
Okay.
Get myself going, used to that fuel in the morning.
Yeah.
Second step, just overdoing breakfast. Absolutely just overdoing breakfast. Like to the point where I'm about to burst.
Okay.
So my theory is if I'm like so full, I'm going to ease into the drinking. You know what I mean?
That's risky. Keep going.
To ease into it because my stomach's so full. I'm going to be like, God, I can't fit any more in.
Okay.
And then eventually, I'm going to be farting, pissing, you know.
Okay.
Releasing all this. And then gradually, the beer will be taking over.
Okay.
All right. So, I like the plan. What's the first drink?
First drink.
Oh, I got you guys covered on this.
It's a beer.
Is it first drink's a beer?
Yeah.
You have a beer in mind?
Bud Select.
Going light.
Yeah.
It's a good morning. It's a good morning beer.
You don't understand how much I'm going to eat.
When you say a good morning beer, that's something you should only say a few times a year. Otherwise, yeah, right.
But that's not daily?
No. I normally try to wait till noon.
That's how you get the shakes away, man.
I just rock them out.
Tell that guy across the alley that drinks a 30-pack of Keystone every night and sits it by the dumpster.
What a trooper.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
You know how we're doing over here at Doug's house this year? Since this year will be my first year officially living in Soulard for the madness. We're going to wake up. We're going to do breakfast, Keith, but we're not going to overdo it because, well, some people might, but here's my strategy. Waking up, coffee, number one. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Number two, we're going to be making some eggs, some bacon. Let's get some grease going.
Some
we need some grease.
Ooh.
But here's how we start the day off with some after coffee is some breakfast mimosa action. We're talking real early. 7, 8-ish.
Okay, see, I was thinking that. Baileys.
Yeah.
Baileys in my coffee. Doesn't sound bad.
I've never done that. You know, I just never tried that.
They're good.
Or like a rum chata.
I don't really like coffee, but if I do like coffee, there better be like some whiskey and Baileys in there.
My thing is like the coffee is like Keith. I just need that to function. That's not even like to wake me up. It's just literally to function. I can't operate
without
it.
That's how I fuel every morning.
And so then the mimosa, you get a little champagne in there, you know, it's like a super light kick me up. Just a little, slightly.
I don't like it because really I like the champagne. Champagne's great. But the orange juice is more the problem for me.
See, I would be afraid of heartburn.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you were about to say? Sorry for cutting you off.
No, you read my mind, brother.
You guys sound like old ass men.
It's acidic as hell.
Dude.
And it'll get you, dude.
We don't have to drink the whole carton.
I do.
Same here, man.
Anything high in acid will get me.
Dude, yeah. it will destroy me.
You know? Sorry for old men, Dugan. You rat bastard making noise over there.
Yeah. You take Pepsi?
I think Tums.
Oh, dude, watch out, man. It's really? Kidney stones.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't had kidney stones probably since I've been taking Tums, but I've had like kidney stones literally like 8 times in my life.
Whoa.
Yeah. I got kidney stones the first time in 6th grade.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the doctors were like, what is wrong with you? Kids your age don't get kidney stones, but I did. And yeah, had them like 8 times since then.
That's what Emma told me.
What? It's calcium. There's a lot of calcium in it.
Yeah, so, the Tums will.
I think my issue was when I was younger. I mean, and recently I've gotten a lot better, but until probably the last couple of years, I drank just a lot of soda. Just way too much soda.
Yeah, that's what they say will do it.
Yeah, that's what they told me. And
that's a lot of soda.
I drank, dude, my house, like, anybody who used to like, go to my house all the time in high school knows that, like, just stocked with soda all the time. My mom is a Diet Coke fiend. I was brought up on caffeine.
Yeah, you've said that before, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, either way, no matter how you do it, you got to get something to jumpstart you a little bit. But you know, I'm trying out this year. Usually I would go straight to beer. 1 year we started off with, I think, was like a shot of something, and it was rough.
That sounds miserable.
But no, but once you get past that, let me tell you something though. Once you get past that first shot in the morning though, then it's like game time.
You're
like,
rolling.
You're good to go.
Yeah, but hopefully you make it to noon.
Yeah.
We got to be able to handle a little bit. But yeah. Well, after that though, once you get a buzz going, it's all about the buzz spacing.
Maintenance of that
buzz. You got to space the buzz. You can't go hard because then you're going to get brick walled.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
so once you get that nice buzz, that medium, maybe a little 60%.
Start doing a drink an hour. Something like that. Yeah,
you could even pull a John Taffer and drink a glass of water.
What I'm really afraid of is I know I'm going to get hungry and I know I'm going to eat like at noon.
Yeah.
And then all that blood's just going to go to my stomach. I'm going to get tired.
See, that's the thing. You got to control it, man. Too much food, you're out.
You got to keep it light. You got to keep the food light. Like, you don't.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll see how it goes. It's supposed to be, it's been beautiful here all week in St. Louis.
For the last 2 weeks, pretty much.
And of course, tomorrow and even today, I can feel it turning.
Oh, it's dropping.
Supposed to not be good outside. Yep. So we'll see how it goes.
Windy in like low 40s when it hasn't dropped below 50 in 2 weeks. So, and it's been in the 60s and 70s for most of the 2 weeks. So thank you, St. Louis. This is lovely.
Yeah. So there you have it out there, people, man. If you're going to start off from Mardi Gras, here's three solid ways, right? We got the Irish coffee for Griff. We got just overeating / light beer mix combo.
Pretty much.
And the coffee, and then back-to-back mimosas, man. That's how we're going to do it.
Sounds like we have plans, boys.
Yeah.
Okay. What else, guys? Last week, man, it's been a busy week, man, for me, just on a personal level. But NBA All-Star Weekend. Did we check any of that out? Trade deadline was Thursday.
I saw Boogie got traded.
Yeah,
that was the only big one that actually happened, right? The Jimmy Butler stuff, it turned out
to fizzle out after that. Yeah. Nothing happened, but
Boogie and Anthony Davis down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
How about that?
It'll be interesting.
So you're the basketball guy. What do you think about that? You think it'll work?
It's going to take time. They got their asses kicked last night.
Two big guys. The last time a team did that successfully was like the Spurs, right?
But that was a totally different game of basketball. The Admiral?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you forget that. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Sorry, that's why I laughed when I said it, because I knew someone was going to get mad.
It's one of my all-time favorites. Sorry. It's going to take time for
sure. Don't look at me like that, Keith.
But they have a chance to work it out, but not this year. This year's over.
Yeah.
Plus, I have to say something. I'm biased, though, because I am a number one Boogie hater.
Are you?
I am first in line to the Boogie Hate Club.
You think he's the problem?
Yeah, he's a team killer.
He's a diva.
He reminds me of T.O.
Yeah, he's a diva.
He wants all the attention, and he also reminds me of like a really, really immature adolescent child.
He is. Well, he's a crybaby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People say like off the court he's a very chill, relaxed guy, but on the court it's like he steps on and everybody's against him.
He cries. You know? He literally cries. Like
Why don't you channel
on me?
Why don't you channel that rage and ball out? Yeah. I mean, the dude balls, obviously.
Yeah, he's great. He's, I think, statistically the top.
He's
top in his position.
He's really good. Yeah. I mean, he's not probably number one, but I think
statistically he might be. But like that's a lot.
On the Kings. Yeah.
He frustrates me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it had me thinking though. I was watching all these basketball stuff this last weekend. I start thinking, you guys ever notice this? Why don't athletes ever make eye contact when they're getting interviewed? Do you guys ever realize this? Next time you watch a sports interview anywhere, in game, post game, you'll get more often. But even post game, especially in game, if they're doing like a halftime or an interview or something,
they're kind of looking around and shit.
They never, like, only a few people, like LeBron will look at, because he knows those people. That's how I like determine if that like guy's like, a good stand-up guy, I feel like, because he'll just like talk like a Tom Brady, always looking at the reporters in the face.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers usually does, but like as far as basketball though, like nobody looks at the reporter. They're like looking around, looking at the stands. A lot of people look just straight down.
I mean, are they supposed to hold eye contact the whole time?
No, but they're supposed to like. I'm talking zero eye contact.
Okay,
it really weirds me out, man. You guys never caught, you know, this no, caught your attention.
I definitely never noticed.
Maybe it's like a Ricky Bobby scenario, like they don't know what to do.
I'm sure
I can see me. I can see me being like that. Yeah, especially with the cameras. Like, I would not know what to do with my hands in front of the camera.
Well, that's I'm not even talking about. Like, okay.
Well, no,
rule number one, I would just be awkward. Is what I mean.
Yeah, same
here. That's probably what they're doing. But I mean, we all know. I mean, rule number one you're not going to look at the camera. No one's going to be just like straight looking in the camera and talking.
That would be hilarious.
Just like open your eyes as wide as you can and stare into the camera.
That's out of the question.
That'd be great.
So then the other only other place to look is the person that's talking to you, right?
I guess.
Or the ground.
No, why? No, it's like...
Just put your hand up to your face and just stare at it.
That'd be like Keith every time we do this podcast. It'd just be like me or Griff just like talking to you, but like looking over there and over here and...
I kind of do it.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's the...
Sure, you don't... We're not holding it the entire time. It's not like 100%.
I know.
I mean, you could go straight Ricky Williams and do, like, every interview in your football helmet. That was awkward when he first got into the league.
Run, Ricky, run.
Yes. Straight to Jamaica. Yep. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess I never noticed it, but it is a little awkward. Like... I don't know. I was always taught that you make eye contact or at least stare at the person's forehead.
Something.
You know what I mean?
At least look their direction. I'm talking like there are people looking up in the sky. A lot of people just look up. They just like look up and they're like looking at the stands and stuff, which I get. But like just, I don't know. It really weirds me out. Like just look at them a couple times.
I don't know. It would be weird though, like seeing you being interviewed on the Jumbotron and like looking up at that. I wonder if that's what they're looking at.
That could
maybe
be.
That, but that'd be weird.
I just feel like
I wouldn't like that.
I wouldn't like it.
It would be so weird for me for somebody to ask me a question about how I'm playing and not look at them. Like they're asking me a personal question, like Keith, how do you think you played in the fourth quarter? And like for me not to look at them is almost like disrespectful for me. I don't think I could do it and not look at them. But that's just me. I don't know. I'm also not a $1 million huge athlete. So
yeah.
I think it's true. Yeah.
For me, that's not. I mean, I've never noticed that before. I'll probably start looking
just
for that.
Just look at it, man.
Thanks for ruining post game interviews.
Oh, they're the worst anyway, though.
Yeah,
like,
I know
the cliche answers. That's what pisses.
There's
me
no
off.
Substance.
Like, We just wanted it. We wanted. You both wanted it. Both teams wanted it. Don't give me that. Like,
yeah, you gotta give it. You gotta give them that, or you can just give them the Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah,
y'all know why I'm here.
I'm just here not to get fined.
Yeah, I'm just here not to get fined. Y'all know what this is.
Best.
God, if best I was a pro athlete, I think I'd be like Marshawn.
I think I might go Marshawn's route also.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. I feel like I'd be so open, man. I'd just be like, these guys, you have to understand that, like, especially if they're in their own city, they know all these beat writers, all these people that are asking them, like, they know these guys.
I might start off open, but I feel like after a couple years and a couple hit stories and stuff like that, you start to, these people start to get under your skin.
Well, that was also a big thing.
You don't like
them
so much anymore.
DeMarcus Cousins left is because he, like, did not like any of the Sacramento media at all. I mean, he didn't get along with anybody
city. I don't think he'll get along with the media anywhere.
Oh, anywhere it goes. Because anytime he gets criticized, he throws a tantrum.
Yeah. Could you imagine him in a big market?
No.
Like in LA?
New York would just
he'd
murder
eat
him.
It would be
they
like,
would destroy him.
It would be like when Dwight Howard went to LA and just got demolished.
Yeah, but maybe worse.
Such a bad move.
Because Dwight throws fits, but Boogie throws the biggest.
I mean, Boogie puts... I think it's better on the floor than Dwight is nowadays, but
yeah, for sure.
But still, yeah, more of a bitch.
All right, well, off the basketball stuff. Last thing before we get into the goods, coming up on Sunday. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Daytona 500
didn't.
Dale Jr., baby.
Are we going?
Game first or last?
Getting the cup.
Now, being that this is the day after Mardi Gras, you might not even be awake.
I won't.
But okay, Griff's out. Keith, what about you?
I have never watched NASCAR in my life, but I don't go out of my way to, I just did, mock it and make fun of it. I honestly do respect those guys. I think there's a lot more that goes into it than just turning left.
And sure.
There's a lot of science that goes into it, like knowing how much fuel's remaining and seeing how much you can get out of every drop of fuel and everything.
For sure.
I respect the sport, but it's just... I couldn't watch it. I think maybe in a stand, it would be different, or like on the infield, like
for sure,
partying with everybody. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, sure.
Like just going to like Indy 500 or something. I think that would be really neat.
Yeah.
But other than that, though, I'd
be there for the party, not to watch them drive in circles.
Well, I do enjoy going fast.
Yeah, but you're not the one going fast.
That is true, but. I've never seen anything go 200 miles an hour right in front of me.
So that would probably be really cool for like the first couple laps, right?
500 times.
Yeah.
It's like, 455. They're still going fast.
Like, so where's that cooler beer at?
Yeah. That's why it's fun.
Yeah.
You're there to get drunk.
Well, I don't know anything about NASCAR. I will never turn it on, but I do know one thing. If I'm going to root for anybody, it'll be Dale Earnhardt Jr. Because who doesn't
junior,
love
Junior?
Junior,
who doesn't baby.
Love junior.
88, baby. Mountain Dew.
Okay, guys. Now, I said this last week, but just heads up for everybody out there. We are going to be off next week. I am going out of town. I'm going to Denver. We're going to catch a Rapids game. It's actually, I believe, the season opener.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
To hit up our boy John Berner, who we had on the pod a couple episodes. If you haven't checked that one out, check that interview out. It's good stuff. He's a good guy. And then we're going to go straight from there, from Rapids Stadium, 20-minute drive straight to the Pepsi Center, catching a Nuggets game. It's going to be epic.
It'll be a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be a good day.
It will be. But, you know, I was thinking, we're going to be off next week. You know, you guys are always doing these theories, and we're going to Denver, and I thought that it would only make sense to cover one of the most one of the most popular theories.
Oh, yeah.
Around, well, it's a multitude of theories, but overall.
It touches, like, every conspiracy theory in the world.
So, let's get into it. That is the Denver airport. So, Griff said it, but the reason I love this so much, Denver airport, is because it's literally almost every conspiracy theory that you can think of. It's like a burrito. It's like rolled into one.
Uh-huh.
You name it, it's at Denver airport. So I found this perfect article from the Denver Post that really went through the big ones. And I figured that we just skim through it real quick
because
these are the big ones. Now you guys both know about Denver Airport.
I do. I know,
of course.
I'm aware of some of the theories and I've heard of others. But
for those out there who don't know, which you got to understand while we're talking about this, is this is a gigantic airport. As of last year, it was the sixth most popular. It had 54 million people go through it. Okay.
But by size, isn't it? Like,
by size is not the big. No.
It's not the biggest?
No, okay. It's just like the amount of traffic. It's the sixth biggest. Okay. So that's what I mean. But it's not your normal airport. I mean.
No.
Now, the people have talked about just random, like, there's a bunch of artwork, which we'll get into that. But lots of artwork, lots of crazy sculptures. People say that there's lots of hidden Nazi stuff. And a lot of, like, people even claim to have dead-end hallways that just lead to nowhere, or signs that point you to a wall, like an exit sign that'll point to a wall. People claim these things.
Sounds like Hogwarts, man.
But, yeah. But the first thing, I think one of the biggest things, is the connection to the Freemasons. Because they actually did have a hand in building this, which I think it was 94 was the old airport. They rebuilt, or not rebuilt, they built this airport, the Denver International Airport. And that is a big thing because people are freaking out kind of because they're like, well, what's wrong with the old airport? Why did we build this new one? And they also freak out because it's apparently 25 miles to like a super underground government bunker, like a known security bunker, right?
I'm not sure if it's known. I know.
Well, if it's secret, like why do we know about it?
Well, it's like in the hill. It's like under in the hills.
Okay. There,
but it's like a known thing.
There are
though.
Theories that there's like three underground bunkers in Denver.
Okay.
Think one of them being at the airport and two like being
well,
the city.
We'll get into that one at the airport.
Oh, you mean the Stargates?
No.
They may be Stargates.
Well, it could be. But a lot.
I thought those were in Iraq, though.
So the Freemasons, one of the big things is when you look at these artworks and stuff, there is actually a big like stone sculpt, not a sculpture, but like a slab that says March 19th, 1994, and it has the Freemason sign on it because they had a part in it. So yeah, that automatically has people fired up.
Right, then Freemasons, immediately people start thinking Illuminati.
Right. And so that goes into the big thing that Griff just mentioned is that this place is, yes, it's an airport, but it's also underground, a huge layer for the social elites and powerful in case of any kind of
That's the theory, right?
Any kind of tragic event or anything. This is where we'll be the important people will be housed.
They used to have
the
one
Illuminati
at the Greenbrier Hotel. It was like the old one in the Cold War, where it's just like they have facilities under this hotel, under basically a mountain that the government, in case of nuclear attack, nuclear annihilation,
you can get
the important members of the chain of command down there and still have a functional government.
Didn't they, like, make a TV show out of this? Like, Lone Survivor? Where it's coming out, like
they, somebody's already
always
out.
In a hidden bunker.
I don't know if he was in a hidden bunker, like, but there's always it's designated survivor.
Designated survivor, yeah. Yes.
So anytime they're gonna get the chain of command together, you know, like the State of the Union speech or something like that, they will pick somebody that's in the chain of command that is designated to not be there.
Yeah.
So that in case of an attack, then that guy's in charge, which I believe is Kiefer Sutherland.
So here's the thing about Denver Airport is that there are a lot of underground tunnels, a lot of underground humongous rooms. You can look up these pictures too, but it's mainly they're just that's where they do the baggage.
That's what they say. Yeah. That's what they say it's used to ship bags.
Because that's what they want you to believe.
As Griff said, the actual above ground airport is not that big. I mean, it is big, but it's not gigantic. So it kind of makes sense if you're going to have something like that.
It does.
But now we get outside to where these tunnels connect to. We said one. I forget what the... Oh, here we go. So these transport tunnels... We said what they're for, whatever, but they are also, apparently there's housing lizard people too. Aliens and lizard people.
Duh.
A little bit of, that's the elites, I guess.
Come on. All the elites are lizards.
That's true.
We've covered this.
It's obvious.
The rough thing that they have to fight with is that there's over 1,000 people. Their daily job is driving baggage carts through those tunnels, apparently. So that's a lot of people.
I think they're incubating lizard eggs. That's what I think they're doing.
NORAD. That's what the
that's the bunker.
That's what it's supposed to be connected to. Is NORAD. If you don't know, look that up. But so that will lead us out into the actual runways, which, if you look at an overhead and aerial view, are said to resemble Nazi swastikas.
Oh, God, I knew it was gonna be a swastika. God damn. Yep.
Now
I knew it.
That's interesting because it's one of those things where, like, you can find a circle in anything that you look at or whatever. Things. So, okay. But they're like, well, why did we rebuild this? Why did we build this new airport?
I was going to say, how old was, like...
I think the original one was built in 29, I believe. 1929.
Well, then that's why.
Like, really old.
I mean, 94 is not, like, brand spanking new by any means. You know? Like,
yeah. But,
well,
so...
To now, not when it was built.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like at some point they had to.
Yeah, at some point you have to build a new one. Yeah. Plus, it was probably a growing city.
1929, they had those little planes with propellers on it. That shit ain't working anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably need more runway space and everything else for jets. And then if NORAD is there, I mean, you're going to have...
You need nuclear silos.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to have government access, like, at all times.
Yeah.
Well, so they said... Why did we redo this? Why are these runways in a swastika? Well, I forget what the article I read was, but apparently the layout that it is almost like two perpendicular, they're connected, so they're not separate, but it's basically like two separate perpendicular runways that intersect each other, one up and one down, kind of, or one left, right, however you look at it.
Okay.
And it's apparently, from what this article said, is a super efficient way for these planes to operate, to leave.
Nope.
Apparently, you have to have that kind of stuff because Denver, one, has such thin air, which messes with the flight.
Keep them having it.
And the weather, obviously. But then they say, well, why did we do these runways? Well, people don't know is something to look into is they actually extended these runways by like 10,000 feet or something. Like the old airport didn't have enough. It couldn't have enough runway to even get like a jet off.
Yeah.
Or something like of serious stuff. So why did we redo this? I don't know.
It was either so that planes could fly, but that is stupid, guys.
No,
so it was much more likely to pay tribute to the dead Adolf Hitler. Because that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense than
flying planes at an airport.
Dumb. Planes. It's probably for the Blitzkrieg.
Yeah.
That's going to happen on the American people.
Lightning war.
The Blitzkrieg.
So, let's use that, what Griff just said, and jump into why this artwork is freaking everybody out. Now, I have to say, there is kind of some weird stuff going on here.
It's freaky. Look up the artwork,
Peter. Is it really?
Look up the artwork. They have around, it's around 40 pieces. Decision. Yeah, it's very interesting. Around 40 pieces. And not even artwork, but they have like gargoyle statue, like a lot of gargoyle statues.
Gargoyle coming out of a suitcase.
Yeah, out of suitcases.
That thing's creepy as hell.
That's badass.
Well,
it's creepy.
Then you must be in the Illuminati because that's what that represents. It's
Oh, gargoyles?
Yeah. Gargoyles so that, are like a thing.
90s animated TV show. It was just indoctrinating people into the Illuminati.
I thought they were just like gothic style probably. Art.
I watch that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Man. Well,
that was the best show ever.
That was a great show. Yeah.
Big fan. Terrific.
Apparently, the gargoyles have something to do with the New World Order of Nazis.
Oh.
Griff.
Of course.
Anyway, but these artworks, though, one of them is one mural by itself is 28 feet wide. I mean, that's a giant mural.
Oh, they're huge. They're like entire wall panels, right?
Yes, they're gigantic. Wow. But I'm not even going to be able to describe it really, but you have to Google it. But the image is. It's like a lot of death.
So there's like a
lot of random like death. The one
that
death
the one that
stuff.
Sticks in my head every time I think of it is there's like a giant ominous looking guy wearing a gas mask.
Yes,
big dark bubble eyes on it.
Why is that in an airport?
Holding a giant like sword, and then there's like over like the masses of people,
and he's killing a dove, a white dove.
Yeah,
yeah.
Why would that ever be in an airport?
There's paintings of dead children.
Yeah. Really, like, really weird stuff.
Dude, this is the last thing I want to see before I go take a flight.
Yes.
That's what the article said.
Said they gave the artist, you know, like artistic license. Come on, people. Like, this was just meant to stir up a conspiracy theory.
Now, there are also even exhibits in the airport with like skeletons and like skulls. Like,
that's an alien skull.
Yeah, it's just like stuff. They just have like
they're
art
just straight
stuff.
Up showing off the alien skulls.
Now,
apparently,
they're not even hiding them.
Well, that they hide in plain sight, dude.
Sneaky bastards.
That's what you need to start understanding, man. They hide in plain sight.
Yep, I'm sitting right here.
This article even, that's funny that you said that because this article even, you know, writes about how the owner of the airport or whatever now is just like, all right, like he's just like, let's bring this on or whatever. I actually have this video here showing their interview, this guy. Let's just listen to what he says. He's going to try and back this. Back the airport up real quick.
Oh, okay.
For more than 20 years, no airport in the United States has been the subject of more conspiracy theories than Denver International Airport. I couldn't tell you exactly why that is, except that the airport opened in 1995, and it was a massive construction project, and people started making little conspiracy theories here and there about, well, it's such a big project, why are they moving all that dirt? What are they building underground? Where are all those buildings going, and what are they used for? So it was just such a massive public works project that people started to talk about it, and that was right at the same time that the internet really started to take off with YouTube and conspiracy theory websites and blogs. Alien hunters and the like were very popular in the early and mid 90s. And so I think for whatever reason, we got lumped into a lot of those categories. But the truth is that we are one of the biggest, most efficient airports in the world. And we have 54 million people passing through this facility every year. If we were hiding an underground bunker or aliens or lizard people or a New World Order headquarters, it would be almost impossible for us to hide it because of the millions of people who come through this facility and the tens of thousands of people who work in this facility. It's just not reality.
Nonsense.
Nonsense.
They go through the top of it.
Why does he bring it up?
Oh, you're so
dumb. I don't believe
this. Why does he bring it up?
Well, that's what this whole interview is about.
If it was such nonsense, why do you bring it up?
This guy's on some horseshit. So it's funny that like you told us that you were going to talk about this last week, and I didn't watch too much of it, but a documentary about this came on like TV a few years ago.
Was it Jesse Ventura?
I fell asleep watching it, but no.
Jesse Ventura. The Denver Air.
I forget exactly who it was, but I think the guy might have talked to that guy.
The spokesman?
Yeah.
That's the spokesperson.
And the guy was talking about, they were trying to let them go down and film in the tunnels.
Oh.
And the guy was not having it.
Oh.
They won't let him film in the tunnels.
I'm
sketched out.
Listen, like I'll tell you what.
You could dismiss this. You could end the conspiracy theories by letting people down there with cameras.
Well, they did do.
Not doing it.
That video had cameras driving on the carts. But they were like sped up really fast. So.
It was their cameras.
Yeah.
They didn't look like an independent
camera. It was weird that they showed a random wall down there in the baggage thing, and it just had like an alien drawn onto the, it was like a rock wall, and it was just an alien drawn on.
Maybe they found something and they're like mining it.
Very possible. I like that. Add to the theory.
So he did mention something. They moved an insane amount of dirt and earth. Like
that was
insane. insane. That's what had people
freaked out. Yeah, but it was for those tunnels, though, right?
Yeah, but there's so many. Like, there's so much earth in
there. You would need that if you're connected to NORAD.
Yes, if that part's true, then yeah, then it makes now, sense. That's what I think. I also didn't going on there.
There is one last thing, guys, that I forgot to mention to you, and that is the big, huge, blue horse statue that greets everyone that goes into this airport, aka what they call it is Blucifer.
I'd never seen a blue duck, so I drew a blue duck. Maybe that was their thought process.
If you haven't seen this horse, you guys got to check this out. It's like a fluorescent, no, not a fluorescent. Yeah, it is, because it's like bright blue, but the stomach, it's like, so it's doing like the horse thing where it's on its hind legs, like whatever you call that.
Yeah.
And the stomach lights up, the blood veins light up the stomach of this horse in this fluorescent light. The whole thing's blue, but it has glowing red eyes. And it's this gigantic, it's like 25 feet tall statue. And here's the other thing, is that I forget the guy's name, but you can look this up. It killed the guy that made it.
What?
When he was finishing it, a chunk fell off and killed him.
This thing claimed the artist's life.
It killed the artist that made it, and so it is said that obviously that it's a Illuminati / Nazi / New World Order symbol. But there's also some out there that think that underneath it, Blucifer is the gateway to hell.
I was thinking it's just a really clumsy artist. But
now this horse does look pretty cool.
How dare you?
I'm not going to lie. It's a pretty cool looking horse, but you got to admit, this airport has a lot of weird shit going on.
What? There's no doubt that it is a weird
airport. It's the weirdest airport ever.
Who chose to design this? Marilyn Manson? Like, what is this, dude?
But then once again, it is one of those things where, like, I just actually almost said that. I did say that. I think NORAD could be there, and there are parts of me that are truly, like, I do not bite on any of these conspiracies, right? There are parts of me that, like, I wonder a little bit. But, it's one of those things where, why the hell would you decorate the airport this way? Like, you would do it in the most casual airport style if you're trying to hide something underneath of it. You wouldn't put paintings of dead children around, right?
Well, do you think that
if you have nuclear silos
down that if these theories have been out there for so long, which they probably have been around for so long, do you think that after a while, they, like this guy said, were just like, where I read where the owner was just like, fuck it, like, we'll just put this stuff out there and like entertain it.
It's an attraction.
Maybe, it'll bring people.
What if it's like a just publicity stunt?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just an attraction thing.
It could be.
Or
slick.
They found something at the old airport, right? They found something in like, okay, we're going to distract everybody, keep their minds on this new airport with all this weird artwork, this giant horse and these tunnels.
Yeah.
But really, that's just the veil, bro. And they're over at the other airport. I like
that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, left hand not paying attention to what the right hand's doing.
Yeah, I see it. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think they found something at the other airport, probably some alien ships or something.
Okay.
That's what some people think's down there for sure.
Yeah, you run into one of those mountains, those Rockies, man.
Who knows, dude? Who knows? Or the Rockies are a hologram.
Yep, they don't exist. The Rocky Mountains are not real. They're fake news.
Heard it here first.
It's just an attraction to Rock get people mountains, away.
You're fake news.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on Denver Airport. And I got to tell you one thing, guys. I am super stoked to be able to walk through there and check it out. Say. It is going to be the only, I've only been to a few airports in my life. Like, when we went to New Orleans, I didn't spend any time looking around there.
And that was a shithole that smelled so bad.
But
I drove.
The Denver...
You're lucky.
The Denver airport, I will be spending some time and checking it out. I mean, I might even go there when I'm coming home. Shoot I'll go there early.
Shoot some footage for us. So just,
okay.
Yeah, dude.
I'll try and get down the tunnels. I'll let you know how
it goes. What if they're
wearing an alien mask and just like, I'm supposed to be down here.
No. What you need to do is get a chemical rag.
You're going to have them chloroform people?
Yeah.
Keith. It's risky. Jeez. It's risky in a top secret government facility to go around.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Kim Jong-nam these people or whatever.
We'll just bring a fake flower and spray them in the face.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly, dude.
Yeah.
You'll get to those tunnels eventually.
Yeah. God. You might do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. If you're out there and you believe or think slightly in any one of those 25 theories, sub-theories that we just covered, let us know, man. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter. or give us an email, anythingbutcredible@gmail.com.
And highly recommend you just Google,
Google the artwork. Yeah.
Because you'll be a little bit spooked out, but it's
Google weird. Denver Airport and just click images. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
The murals will pop up right away, and they're creepy. They don't belong in an airport.
Those gargoyle statues are awesome.
I don't like them. Yeah, it's weird. I don't like them personally.
Okay. Let's move on, man. Let's get into some weekly weirdness. What do you guys got for me? Anything good?
All right. Well, this is actually a Florida story, kind of, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
But
we are going to
Florida. Man, Florida! His girlfriend got shot in the leg, and the cops were like, hey, man, what happened to you? How'd your girlfriend get shot in the leg? And pulled out a line that we all used when we were little kids. His dog did it.
No.
Yep, his dog, Diesel.
Diesel.
Diesel's a murderous bastard. And he said Diesel jumped up on the nightstand and the gun went off or something. But the cops are not buying
this. I mean, that is kind of possible, though, right? Like,
I don't know. I'm not a gun guy. Keith, did that happen?
Yeah, Keith, tell us, man.
No.
Okay.
No.
What kind of dog was this? This dog's getting a bad rap, man.
So, I mean, sure. I guess it's possible. But no.
Yeah, that's
very
unlikely.
It's going to be really, really hard. Really hard. Like, the dog somehow has to get his paw inside the trigger
guard.
Yeah. And then, like, he's got to pull it back while keeping the gun steady.
And aimed at the girlfriend.
Yeah. Because all that's going to do, like, if you just get one paw inside the trigger guard.
Get one paw in there.
And, like, you go to move it, it's just going to spin. Like, you know what I mean? So he's got to hold the other side of the gun with the trigger guard and then.
Yeah,
swipe at it, I guess.
Like, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
You know, like, what, man? She probably didn't fill up his water bowl enough, man.
Like, yeah, guns don't have a mind of their own. They don't just go off willy nilly.
Not often, right? There's very, very low chance of it.
Yeah, well, very low chance.
But then the chance of it hitting something in the right trajectory to hit somebody is even lower.
Yeah,
we need the crime dog McGriff to get on this case. Yeah. That's what we need.
Or Caesar.
He needs to take a bite out of this crap.
Yeah.
I couldn't even finish.
Or Caesar. Isn't that his name? Caesar Milan?
Caesar Milan needs to whisper to this dog and say, stop shooting people.
Dude, put the gun down, man.
Stop shooting people.
She might, even if she's a terrible dog owner, man, you can't
shoot her, bro. Can't do it.
Did they kennel him? Put him in doggy jail?
Ongoing investigation.
Oh.
He still has his day in court coming up.
What's his name?
Diesel.
Hey, shout out to Diesel, man. Hold your head up, man.
Wait, he shot somebody.
Hey, we don't know the backstory, though. She could have... Hey, dude, I love dogs. I probably got the dog's back on this one. Just because. He's a dog. She's probably really...
Okay, the dog didn't shoot anybody.
But that's also a fucked up way of thinking, though. The dog did not shoot anybody, but you shouldn't have the dog's back if it did shoot somebody.
Yeah.
Why? If the dog shot somebody, it was an accident, man. You can't blame that dog.
You don't know.
You don't know his intent,
You don't know the motive behind the dog.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, what if she tortured him or something, man? You don't know that.
That's true. If it was self-defense.
Likely excuse of a murderer.
Yeah.
Diesel, I'm out. I hope you're out there, man. What kind of dog was it?
I'm not sure. It's a good question.
Because it's a pit bull, man.
It's probably a pit. They're just trying to
hate
him.
It's just a bad rap, man. Yeah.
Now, if it's a chihuahua, something with super small paws, it's definitely a possibility.
God, please tell me it's a chihuahua.
Probably is.
Keith, what do you got over there, man?
Excuse me. So we've all been just belligerent, messed up, out of our minds.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm sober, bro.
Oh, sorry, guys. Well, I have been fucked up out of my mind before and done a lot of stupid shit. Never really involving the cops, though. So this girl in New Mexico got pulled over. They took her out to do a field sobriety test.
Uh-oh.
And, bro, I'm not drunk, so she did a cartwheel.
She started
doing cartwheels in front of this cop.
Oh, no.
What do you think the cop's reaction was?
That's a solid argument, lady. You may go.
She got a DWI.
No.
No way. But seriously, though, like...
He said nice form. You can go. Yeah,
I'll give that a 10.
Like, seriously, though, I never thought, like, that would be, like, a get-out-of-jail-free card. I'm going to do this cartwheel, then I'm going to go, right?
Especially if they say, hey, can you straight toe, step after step, this whole line? And she says, no, but I'll cartwheel. Then it probably is not that good, bro. Or they said, like, can you stand on one foot and, you know, rub your head or whatever the test is? And she says, no, but I'll cartwheel. That probably isn't the best look for her.
Probably not.
My whole thing is, like, how accurate is a field sobriety test? Because I'm a clumsy dude to begin with.
They're not extremely.
It's proven.
Like, this has to be just for entertainment for the cops.
Yeah, it is. They already know what's going on.
I've witnessed one where, I'm not going to say names, but the person I knew for sure was sober. Like, had not had anything to drink. We were younger, but the cop was going nuts and obsessing, saying, like, your eyes were blinking or whatever, and, like, this person didn't smoke pot, so it wasn't high, and he had not been drinking. Like, he'd just come from getting his car stereo installed, and I knew, like, for sure he had not been drinking.
I tell you, there's a high chance that
eventually,
would fail.
Like, after an hour of being grilled and threatened to be arrested, finally another cop with a breathalyzer shows up, and he blows zeros.
Yeah. So,
that's ridiculous, man.
I would almost guarantee that I'd fail sober, completely sober.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Especially if you start doing that bullshit where you count backwards, A, B, no way. I can't do that. I could never do that.
Or the eye thing where
the eye thing is a proven... That's screwy, man.
Yeah. It can just happen. Yeah.
That's a cheat right there. That's how they cheat you.
You're supposed to follow the finger without moving your head, and then they put it behind your head, and you're like...
Well, no, they say the thing is, like, if your eyes move smoothly while you're doing it, then you're sober. If they, like, go like a sprinkler motion, like a boom, 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 like they skip kind of, then they say that means you're intoxicated on something.
Interesting.
What if I'm jacked up on Mountain Dew?
What if I? It's just bullshit. There's so Like what? Where do you define a drug? Because caffeine That's a very good point though. Caffeine is an upper. It's a drug. So why would that not do it?
Yeah, man. You ever seen Keith pound two throwback Mountain Dews with real sugar?
He'll come at you like a spider monkey.
Ye fucking haw.
So that's a really good question. Or if you were on like any type of, let's say like you have a daily medication you take. And you're not
like an Adderall or
Some and you're totally allowed to drive.
Yeah.
But you are on something. So
That's
screwy. And most of America, honestly, is on some type of daily medication
for sure. These
days. Everybody does drugs.
Man. You drink your coffee in the morning, you're an addict.
Yeah. Guys, I got a story, man. We're going up north for this one. Up in Canada, man.
Oh, can't wait, eh?
Okay.
You guys ever? We've all had this happen where we're doing laundry or we put on an old pair of pants, jeans, or something. We find a couple bucks in there. It's like, oh, fuck yeah, man!
Like once a week,
right? Well, that's a lot. That's pretty good.
Wow.
I probably need to start emptying my pockets.
Sounds like you're doing that on purpose.
I probably
almost
need to empty my pockets before I wash my clothes more.
I was gonna
that's probably what's coming down to.
Dude's just rolling in money, apparently. It's fucking Scrooge McDuck over here.
It's always like a dollar bill, Keith. It's nothing
to it. Forgot where my money is.
So we know how that feels, man. Wherever it is, you lose money or you find money, either one, or if you lose it and you find it, you know what I'm saying? It's a great feeling, man.
Oh, it is.
What's the most, can you guys off the top of your head, that you've ever found of yours, the amount, and been like, wow.
This always happens to me every time spring rolls around and fall rolls around. Like, whenever fall rolls around, I always put a coat on that I obviously haven't worn in a long time.
Yeah.
Reach into the pockets like, oh, shit. Yeah, I got money. Yeah.
What's the biggest that you can think of?
I don't know. Probably like a five.
Yeah, five. So if I lose anything more than a five, I'm going to go nuts trying to find it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I don't think I've ever found anything too exciting.
Okay, well, let me tell you about
this. I've heard of some people finding thousands of dollars that they like.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Well, you'll find this story kind of interesting then. Barrie, Canada. I don't know where that is, but this dude.
Nova Scotia.
It's the Great White North, eh?
He had a TV forever. Okay. Sold the TV to his friend. And, well, his friend was like, you know, TV shit out on him or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how this works. What kind of TV it is, it doesn't say. But he gives it to the trash man. He gives it to the Global Electric Processing, or it's called GEP. I guess. Global Electronic Processing. Is that real? I don't know if that's real.
Probably.
It's a recycling plant.
Yeah.
Well, so the guys start breaking down this TV. And they're like, what, that kind of looks weird. What is that, a $50 bill? Wait a second. That looks like a lot of $50 bills. Turns out that this guy who sold his TV just totally forgot that he stuffed $100,000 in $50 bills inside of this TV.
That happened to me like last week, actually. Dude.
What does this guy do?
He sells drugs, Keith. Come on.
How do you fit that in a TV? Is that possible to fit in a TV, first of all? Yeah,
dude, it's probably not that much. It's always funny when you see like actual
amounts. That's true.
Like this, have you ever seen $100,000 bills in a suitcase?
Especially if it's one of those super old TVs, which it sounds like the tube ones, the back, there's just nothing in there, really.
A bubble butt?
Yeah. So here
a bubble butt.
That's what I call them.
Here's how we know this is a Canadian story. They call the police.
Don't tell me they gave the money back.
Gave it back to the
guy.
This guy is clearly a drug dealer.
The guy said he was 68 years old. And the guy said, hey, is this your 100 grand? He's like, sure is. Totally forgot about it.
The guy's 68?
Yeah, he's 68. And he gave it to the TV to his friend for 10 years. He just totally forgot. Totally forgot.
How do you forget about 100 grand?
Well, they were saying that.
Keith Richards move right there.
Apparently, he was... He was smart at the time because he stashed personal documents with his name and address and stuff with the money. And that's how the police found and located him and tagged it to them.
Well, if he is a drug dealer, that wasn't very smart.
It's like the longest surviving dementia patient.
Yeah. That is wild. You must be fucking rolling in the dough.
I mean, name one person, yourself included, that was working at a plant and you find 100 grand just call plus out this TV.
Me and Keith are working at a plant. Do we call the cops, Keith?
No, you do not call the cops.
We both get 50 grand.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
I don't know.
No way, dude. It was in the back of a TV.
It was in the back of a TV that's being broken down in the garbage, man.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't.
I'm thinking.
Dude, I would go so fucking paranoid. I would go nuts.
You think a drug cartel is coming after
you? Yeah. I would go absolutely nuts and be like, dude, somebody's coming after me. I know it. I know it. This money really isn't mine. I'm going to turn it into the authorities. And then after however long, I'm going to get the money.
You know what I mean?
I could see that.
I would freak out.
I could see what you're saying, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, not only do I see what you're saying, it didn't occur to me at first, but I 100% guarantee that is where my mind would go. After about 7 hours of having the money.
That's true.
I'd be laying in bed that night. My brain would start racing. I'd be like, oh, shit. There are people coming to kill me. I need to get out of the house. I need to go.
Well, turns out, nope. Just that old guy forgot that he stashed in his TV. So, well,
is Canadian money smaller than
I don't know. I just money. I read that. I was like, this cannot be a real story, man.
It's not. I don't think the difference is that big.
I'm talking actual physical dollar size, not currency value.
Oh, I thought you were talking value.
No. I'm talking dollar size.
I bet the notes are about the exact same size.
I would imagine, too.
Most notes really are about the same
size. I don't know. I guess I can't wrap my head around
how much. Oh, by the way, it says it was in there for 30 years in that TV. 30 years, he forgot about 100 grand. What was that guy doing 30 years 100 ago?
100 grand was even more money.
Evading taxes, ago. I can tell you that.
This guy's a savage. This
30
guy,
years ago, we're talking about dead... We're talking about the 80s, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He was selling cocaine. That's what he was doing.
That's why they call it the Great White North.
Yeah. Hey. Kind of crazy. Okay. You guys got anything else?
I got one more
thing. We got Griff.
Where'd it go?
We'll get two more stories and we're out of here.
Where did it go? Hold up. Oh, this is amazing. So, over to China, our friends in the East.
Oh.
A man was sitting at a... Okay, have you ever been at a red light and it just won't turn, man? It's super frustrating. There's nobody around.
Yeah.
You're thinking about running it, and then you look up and there's a camera.
Yeah. I always run it.
Now we know the camera's
not working. Yeah, I get you.
But back when the cameras were working, you're like, well, God damn it, I just got to wait.
Yeah.
Well, this guy, he was in this situation, looked up and saw the camera, and immediately had a solution. This brilliant son of a bitch... pulled out a slingshot, and with one shot, boom, took out the camera.
Wow.
Dude, this dude is like Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, accuracy.
Yep. This guy's amazing, huh?
Wow.
Yep.
So, did they get him for breaking the camera
I think they eventually got him.
It's not you're not going to win, though.
I don't have too many details. I just know he pulled that move. And I just think that's...
Well, speaking of... Actually, my next story is about cars, too.
Hats off to you, guy.
Dude, that's gangsters.
Have you guys seen that video of that guy getting hit by that tire? Remember?
Yeah.
Remember a few stories a few weeks ago?
We talked about
that. When I talked about that YouTube video of tires breaking off of cars? Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen that video of that guy getting
hit? He's not on Facebook. He probably hasn't.
You haven't seen that video?
No.
That guy getting fucking just smoked by that tire?
Him and his girl or something walking down the street?
That sounds terrible.
Oh, I got to show you this.
You would think he's dead.
Oh.
But apparently he's not.
It's the worst tire video I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really, really
I'll show you after we get done recording.
It just comes out of nowhere, Keith, and just boom.
It's crazy.
Takes him the fuck out.
Dude, feral tires.
Well, watch so I, yeah. you know, it's funny that we bring
those wild packs of wild, tires.
Wild packs of tires.
You would almost think so. it's funny that we bring this up, though, because I just came across this article the other day that did a study, an analysis of time wasted in traffic. Turns out that the average U.S. driver wastes an average of $1,200 a year just from sitting in traffic.
$1,200?
Yes. It went into money because they gas? Were
yeah.
gas and like time, that you could brain be working, power. Yes. And okay. like things. Let me see.
$1,200 a year?
Now, this study is based on 500 terabytes. Over 300 million sources was put into this study.
Wow. I'd say that's...
Which
that's,
is a lot.
That's, yeah, that's a well-researched...
wow.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually.
Let's see if I can get on to the stats. Apparently, Moscow was the worst. By the way, this is not just U.S. It was that was a world. That's why.
I would think the U.S. is by far not the worst.
Apparently, in Moscow, they spend an average of 25.2% of the total day in traffic.
Yeah, it's so corrupt over there. Their infrastructure and stuff just jacked.
That
sounds miserable. That sounds like L.A. Like
I'm yeah. L.A. actually was, I believe, number one for U.S. and that is a 12.7% of their total time driving in traffic.
David, cities like Mexico City, like in China, like all different types of countries.
Yeah.
All
I'm sorry. The worst in the U.S. is Houston? New York City's Bronx Expressway, where driver, which is only a 4.7-mile road.
Huh.
An average driver spends 86 hours a year.
New York's bad.
I guess for the distance of the road, that's dude, really bad.
I would like just go Hulk and like just try and lift cars out of the way. Like I would get so frustrated. So frustrated.
In LA where it does not rain, I would have a motorcycle almost for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt, yeah. dude.
It doesn't rain, so I know I can get around on this most every day.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can weave through traffic. Right.
Which is scary as hell.
What?
Weaving in and out of traffic.
Yeah, but when it's all still, it's not that scary.
yeah, dude, it is scary.
Yeah. Or no. You ever rode a motorcycle?
Nope.
okay.
Yeah.
I have no idea and no credibility on this topic yeah. whatsoever.
Yeah, I have one. And
do you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had a bike.
Yeah.
Okay. Keith rides a chopper, man.
Oh, damn.
You got a Harley.
Kill it a little AK.
Yeah.
yeah, sure.
Sons of malarkey.
Yeah, I rode it a total of like 7 miles last year. Don't get it out much. but no, it is freaky because it heightens your senses a little bit.
Yeah, because you're out there. You're not in a metal cage.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if I could do that. But if that's my only option, for sure I'm weaving in and out of traffic on a motorcycle. No doubt.
Other than sitting for 5 hours to go 5 miles?
Yeah. Hell no.
All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. That's about all we got, man. Before we wrap this up, you guys know what time it is. Shout-outs. What do you got?
Shout-out to NASA.
Okay.
Found 7 new planets.
Okay.
It's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
All of which could contain life, and some are in the, like, 3, I think, are in the Goldilocks zone, which is where they say it's not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah.
The right size, so the gravity's not too strong, that it could support human life, intelligent life. So now the only thing is,
how do we get there?
It's 40 light years away, I believe. So we have to figure out to go with the speed of light, and then we'll get there in 40 years.
oh, wow.
It's a little tricky, but I don't know. We could do, if you've seen Passengers, if we can get to the speed of light, we can do something like that.
Yeah.
Where you sleep.
Okay, I'm in.
40 years.
I see.
Yeah.
Keith, what you got?
Shout out to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Hosting the Mardi Gras celebration. It's always a good time.
Yeah.
Anybody that's never done it should come down and enjoy it.
I'm going to piggyback off of you because, like we said last week, we think we're number two in the country. I didn't look that up, so it could be wrong.
I've definitely read that before. Definitely used to.
Bro math says we're number
bro
two.
Bro math, okay.
Bro math.
Shout out to everybody out there celebrating, man. Especially New Orleans is going to be crazy. What we say, yeah. Was it Brazil that does it number one?
Yeah, Carnival in Rio. It's supposed to be just absolutely.
I wonder how that's going this year.
In Rio?
Yeah.
I don't know.
After the Olympics and everything. And
I think that's just like one thing that goes smoothly down there. I feel like the whole country's just so into
pro
it.
Carnival.
Yeah, yes, they're very pro carnival. It's a very big point of pride, I think, amongst people of all different backgrounds.
Well, yeah, man. Shout out to everybody celebrating. Be safe, or hope you were safe. By the time you hear this, it'll already be over. But, shout out to you guys for listening, checking in, and remember. For this layover, 1 week off. We'll come back the second weekend of March. We'll be back, and I'll have some good stuff. First-hand reporting from the Denver airport, right?
Oh, yeah.
Excited for that.
An exclusive.
So with that being said, man, we're going to bounce out of here. We got to get ready. We got to get ready. You got to go to sleep. You get up so early in the morning for Mardi Gras. You got to be ready.
I'm going to eat so much food after I get out of here. Dude, my stomach is going to be exploding at the
seams. Oh, I can't wait to see you tomorrow, Keith, and see what state you're in, you know, after the breakfast. I mean,
it's going to be food, baby, dude.
Griff, hopefully you guys can stop by, or we'll meet up somewhere for along sure. the day. We'll try and find each other.
We'll find each other.
Okay. Like I said, man, we appreciate you guys checking in. Check us out on iTunes and give us a rate and a review. Let us know what's going on. Any comments or anything. We covered a lot of sub-theories today. So let us know. Facebook, Twitter, anythingbutcredible@gmail.com. Or you can go out to Doogie Media. That's where we got a bunch of the stuff, too. That's DuggyMedia.com. And with that being said, we will see you all in 2 weeks. Be good.
Bye-bye. Later, dude.